If you have the way to access the scriptures this morning, have your Bible, have your tablet, have your phone, however you get to the scripture, turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 through verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with the first verse through the third verse. Paul, I believe, to be the writer of the book of Hebrews, and really the writer is unknown to us, but as I read through the book of Hebrews, it is very Pauline. And so I personally believe, and there are others that believe, that Hebrews was written by the Apostle Paul. And he begins to write, and he says in verse number 1 of that 12th chapter, Hebrews 12 and verse 1, he said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience." The King James says patience. The word in other translation is endurance. "Let us run with patience," or endurance, "the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And this is what he says. He says, "Consider him," consider Jesus, "consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." And I'm going to stop right there this morning. I'll ask you to bow your heads. Ask that you just pray with me that the Lord will allow us to minister his word, all right? Father, we are so grateful for your love and for your mercy. We are so thankful this morning, Heavenly Father, for your goodness that we have already sensed here in the house of God. I would ask this morning, Lord, as we come to the ministry of the word of the living God, I would ask that you would enable me. For of my own self, I am incapable of delivering your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will touch my mind, that you will touch my heart, that you will anoint my lips. And everything that is said and everything that is done, I pray that it be done to glorify you and to encourage and to edify the hearer. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you will divinely anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Give me liberty in the house of God to speak as an instrument in your hand. I pray these things, Lord, in the mighty and awesome name of Christ. And Father, we will give you the praise and give you the glory throughout eternity. We ask it in Christ's name, and everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to title my message, "Endurance Matters." Endurance matters. Let that sink in. Endurance matters. I want to talk about the necessity or the indispensable need that we all have in our life to have or to possess the character of endurance. Endurance matters. The King James says, "Run the race with patience." But the meaning is the same. Patience and endurance share the root definition. They share the same root meaning. It means to possess stamina. Endurance means to have fortitude, staying power, resolve, grit, perseverance, persistence, tenacity. And the dictionary that I looked ran out of words, so I made up a few of my own. Stickability. Hello? It means don't wimp out. Don't be a wuss. Hello? Suck it up, Bubba. It means that we need to be able to have the ability to keep going even under a load. How many of you have ever carried a load on your shoulders? And maybe not just a load on your shoulders physically, but you carried a load on your heart physically, emotionally. You carried a load. Endurance means that you have something down on the inside of you that gives you the ability to keep putting one foot in front of another, even though you are carrying a load. And if you haven't lived long enough in life, I just came to tell you this morning that somewhere along the way, you are going to shoulder a load. And you will either do one of two things. You will keep going and you will endure, or you will step out of the race and become nothing more than a sideline or a sidetrack tragedy in your walk with Christ. It means to have the capacity to take a licking and keep on ticking. Paul said, run with endurance, run with stamina. Run with fortitude, run with grit, run with persistence and tenacity. You may have tears running down your face and your muscles might be aching and your lungs feel like they're about to fall out of your chest, but keep on running, don't quit. Paul said we are to run this race with endurance. With endurance, with stamina, with fortitude. That is so foreign to our culture these days. Because if somebody doesn't like something, they just quit. Hello? If somebody doesn't like something, they just bow out. Our culture, yes, we have dreams. Yes, we have aspirations. But if it don't happen overnight, we just give up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's prevalent in our culture these days. When it doesn't happen right away, we are so now oriented that we lose sight that if it's worth having, it's worth working for. If it's worth having, it's worth some effort. We need to learn this morning that mediocrity is easy and there is no such thing as an overnight success. How many of you have ever heard that term? They were an overnight success. And they worked for 25 years before anybody even knew who they were. Hello? There is no such thing as an overnight success. We need to learn that if something is worth having, then it's worth working for. And if it's worth having, then more often than not, it is not just going to fall in our lap. We need to learn that if we are going to be successful in running this Christian race, then we are going to have some determination and some endurance. Say to yourself this morning, endurance matters. Endurance matters. You might even want to put your name in front of it. Amen. Endurance matters. Endurance matters. I read a story a few days ago about an event that happened in September or on September the 2nd, 2013. And when I read the story, I remembered hearing about it in the news, and then I'd forgot all about it. But when I read the story, it all came kind of coming back to me. But on September the 2nd, 2013, something happened in the world that had never happened before. Something in all of the thousands of years of history, someone did something that had never been accomplished before. A 64-year-old woman by the name of Diana Nyad swam from Havana, Cuba, all the way to Key West, Florida. Nonstop. 110 miles. 64. You can Google it later. Don't Google it now. It'll offend me. You'll hurt my feelings. You can Google it later. There are all kinds of story about Diana Nyad. I read the CNN article when they interviewed her. She swam nonstop 110 miles, and it took 53 hours. Do any of you think you might have want to have quit? I don't want to, you know, negate my illustration, but I don't know why she started. Hello? But she swam nonstop, 64 years old, for 53 hours, and she did it without a shark cage. And when they interviewed her, listen, she swam from August the 31st till September the 2nd. That's doing something. And when they interviewed her, this is what she said, and I quote, "The swim wasn't easy. With all of the experience that I have, especially in this ocean, I never knew how badly I would suffer." She went on to say that for 49 hours, and again I quote, "For 49 hours of the journey that the wind blew like heck, and it was rough." She went on to say that at one point she was vomiting so violently, amen, because she had so much salt water in her system and she was shivering with cold. But she said, "I kept saying to myself, Diana, amen, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter if you don't feel like it's going well. Keep on. Find a way to make it happen." That's endurance. This was not her first attempt. As a matter of fact, she had tried 4 other times previously. She had tried 35 years earlier. And on her first attempt, it was called off due to severe storms. But she didn't give up. Her second attempt had to be aborted because she had an acute asthma attack. Amen. But that didn't stop her. And she just came back she refused to give up her dream. The third attempt, she was bitten by jellyfish all over her body to the point that she had an allergic reaction and her body swole up and she could barely move. The fourth attempt again was halted by bad weather conditions. But she would not relent, and she just kept coming back because she had a dream to fulfill, and she finally fulfilled it on the fifth time. Pastor Gary, what in the world does Diana Nyad's story have to do with us today? What does the dream of a 64-year-old woman who swims from Havana, Cuba to Key West, Florida have to do with me? Her lesson teaches us one thing. It models for us this. There are going to be some moments in life that we just want to quit. There are going to be some moments and some seasons in life as we run our Christian race that we are going to want to throw in the towel. There are going to be some seasons and times in our life that we have given it our best shot and come up short. There are going to be some times and seasons when we feel like we can't take another step. But I came to tell somebody this morning that if we are ever going to run this Christian race with success, then we are going to have to learn how to get up off of the canvas and get up off of the floor and get back in the fight. Amen. We're going to have to learn that failure doesn't have to be final, and we're going to have to learn to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and get back in the race. I said, tell yourself this morning that endurance matters. Endurance matters. Let me give you some history concerning the text. The history behind the text. The writer of the book of Hebrews, he is writing to a group of Jewish people that have converted from Judaism to Christianity. He is writing to a group of people that had once followed the law and now they were believers in Jesus Christ. But now, as he writes, now they have encountered troubled water. Now they have encountered and been confronted with persecution. Now they have been, they have fallen upon opposition and they want to quit. That's what the whole book of Hebrews is all about. Paul is telling them, don't give up. He's telling them, don't stop. He's sharing with them, don't turn around, keep pressing forward. He's telling them, yes, you're going to go through some hard times. Yes, you're going to be talked about and rejected. Yes, you're going to suffer some persecution. Yes, you're going to have some situations that turn out differently than you thought. Yes, you're going to ask for God, amen, to give you some things that he ain't going to give you, but don't quit. Don't give up. Don't turn around. Don't go back. Don't lose sight of the race. The text is a reminder that if we, amen, if we do not possess the character of endurance, then we will lose sight of the long-range goals in the midst of our current difficulties. Let me say that again. Our text is a reminder that if we do not possess endurance, we will lose sight of the long-range goals in the midst of our current difficulties. Hello? See, you got to have some foresight. You got to look a little ways down the road. I know you're going through some stuff, but you got to look a little further ahead. Don't give up, he says. Understand this morning that the Bible describes our Christian experience in terms of a race. And not a 100-yard dash, but a marathon. There are a whole lot of folk that get started out, and boy, they're gung-ho for a little while. And then they come up against opposition. They come up against trial. They come up against hardship. They come up, and then they are ready to bow out. You hear what I'm saying this morning? It's a marathon. It's not the 100-yard dash. You got to pace yourself. You got to have some endurance. Paul told the Galatian church, you did run well, but what happened to you? You started out okay, but something got you sidetracked. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, you can get started out the right way. Amen. But if you're not careful, you'll get weary along the way, and then it becomes easy to just bow out. Amen. Everybody fighting for a lane. There are going to be all kinds of difficulties and obstacles that get in your way. The same is true. Amen. There are those that get started and they get discouraged and they find themselves sitting on the sideline of their walk with God with their dreams unrealized and their God-given potential unmanifested. Amen. But I want you to know that our character this morning is not determined by how well we start out, but how well we finish. Hello? Our character is measured and determined not by how we start out the race, but how we finish the race. And our text this morning is a wake-up call. The Apostle Paul is trying to get us to understand that we need to understand that if we're going to finish strong, then we're going to have some discipline and some determination. He's telling us that endurance matters. And what I love about the text is he doesn't just tell us that we need endurance, but he tells us how to get it. There's a good piece of news. Can you say amen? Because I realize that I need endurance, but how do I get a hold of it? How can I acquire it? How can I make it mine? And good news, Paul tells us, he gives us three principles that I want to talk about from these three verses this morning. The first thing that he tells us that we need to do, he tells us that we need to look back at those that have gone before us. He says, look back at those who have gone before. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 12. Verse number 1 of chapter 12. He says, wherefore, stop right there. Wherefore, whenever we see the word wherefore, we have to ask, what is it there for? Wherefore? We learned that last week, right? Whenever we see that word, we have to find out what it is there for. And Paul begins this 12th chapter saying, wherefore? Understand that Paul is continuing his thought from Hebrews 10 through 11. And when he gets to chapter 12, he is saying, in light of what I have previously said, in light of what I have already shared. So what does chapter 10 and chapter 11 tell us? Understand this morning that the Bible was not written and marked by chapter and verse until it was translated. So we need to understand that basically chapter 12 is the culmination of his thoughts that he began with in chapter 10. So what does chapter 10 tell us? Chapter 10 tells us, and I'm going to try and put it in a nutshell and read just a couple of verses from chapter 10. Chapter 10 tells us that he is writing to a people that were under unbelievable persecution. He is writing to a people that has come up against hardship and they have come up against trial. In verse number 32 of the 10th chapter, this is what he says. Remember the past. In verse 32, chapter 10, I'm reading the God's Word translation. He said, remember the past when you first learned the truth. You endured a lot of hardship and pain. And at times you were publicly insulted and mistreated. At times you associated with people who were treated this same way. You suffered with prisoners. But you were cheerful even though your possessions had been stolen. They had their possessions taken from them. He said, you were cheerful even though you had your possessions stolen, since you know that there is a better and more permanent possession waiting for you. So he says in conclusion in that 35th verse, so don't lose your confidence. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your patience. Don't lose your stamina. Don't lose your grit. Don't lose your fortitude. Don't lose your confidence. It will bring you a great reward in the end. So So understand in chapter 10, Paul is writing these words, and he is writing to many that have lost their homes. They have had their possessions confiscated. They have had, amen, their property taken from them. Many had suffered physical persecution. Others had been outright killed. And he ends the chapter basically telling them, I know you got it tough. I know you're going through some hard times. I know you got it difficult, but hang on. Don't lose sight of your faith in Christ. Don't turn around and go back to the law. Keep your faith anchored in the truth that you were so joyful to receive in the first place. Keep your faith in Christ. From chapter 10, he moves into his thoughts of chapter 11. And chapter 11, we all know chapter 11, right? We all know what chapter 11 says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. The Bible said by faith that Abel offered a more perfect sacrifice. Enoch, by faith, was translated. The Bible said by faith, Noah built the ark to the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And on down through the heroes of the faith in chapter 11. He begins to list all of the heroes, Moses and David and on and up. For 40 different verses, he writes about how by faith that others in the past have won their race. So understand in chapter 10, he's telling them, here's where the problem lies. I know you're going through difficulty. I know that you're going through trial, but don't give up. Consider Abraham, consider Moses, consider David, consider all of these heroes of the faith. Consider the fact that they walked by faith and how they were blessed and they with endurance ran the race and with endurance they kept their faith in God. And then he comes to what we know to be chapter 12, verse 1. He says, wherefore, in light of the fact that all of these other saints of God lived victoriously, even though they endured severe trial and even though they endured severe testing, they came out victorious. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Wherefore, in the light of the fact that your possessions have been taken, wherefore, in the light of the fact that you are being persecuted, wherefore, in the light of the victories of the past saints, he says, since they overcame, you can overcome. Because they made it, you can make it. So the first thing that he tells us to do is to look at the Old Testament saints. And he said if they had fortitude and they had stamina and they had faith in God and they were rocked with tests and trials and yet they came out on the top, then I got news for you, church. You can too. You can make it. So the first thing that he tells us to do is to look back at the former witnesses. And then he gives us the second key. Look at verse 12 again. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. All of these Old Testament saints that have made it, they are in the grandstand of heaven and they are cheering us on and they witness to us that if they can make it, they were just flesh and blood and God is no respecter of persons. And if they can make it, then we can too. But he says, if you're going to run this race, if you're going to be successful, he said, you need to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Lay away. Now listen. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin. That one little word, and, gives distinction to the two different things. There are weights and there are sins. And I will just tell you right up front, we all got all of them. We all got weights and we all got sins. Hello? I mean, now it may take a little while to get a consensus about that and get a real good strong amen. But you all know that you got something in your life that when it says, hey, you're like, because the devil knows exactly what buttons to push in your life to get you off track. And he said, we need to lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Notice he makes a distinction between weights and sin. Because everything, let me just tell you, everything that weighs us down is not necessarily a sin. I love classic country music. I can get an amen on that, can I? I mean, you know, my wife and I, we watched the Country Music Awards here a while back, and about an hour and a half into it, I told her, I went, I ain't heard a country song yet. True. I love classic country music, but I also love classic rock and roll. Yeah. It's okay, I only listen to Jesus Is Just All Right With Me. Right? That's not true. And that's not a sin. I mean, it is not a sin to love old classic country music. It is not a sin to listen to old rock and roll, old classic rock and roll. That's not a sin. But there are some times that I've listened to it a little more than I should, and then when I go to my prayer closet, all I can hear is Merle Haggard singing, walking on the fighting side of me, and hearing Bob Singer sing Kathmandu, and I know I got a problem. I need to reevaluate what I'm listening to. I said some things are not a sin, but they will weigh you down. And you know what weighs you down. And Paul is telling us that if we are going to make it, if we are going to have success, then we are going to need to lay aside everything that would latch itself to us and drag us down. He's telling us that a marathon runner does not enter a race wearing body armor, and a marathon swimmer don't jump in the water wearing a fur coat, and a boxer don't get in the ring wearing wrist weights when he's going into a competition. He's telling us we are in a race for our eternal soul, and we need to lay aside everything that would hinder us and lay aside everything that would drag us down. Get rid of the baggage. Remove the diversions. Eliminate the distractions. Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And sometimes Willie's Roadhouse and classic rock weigh me down. And I gotta lay it aside. Hello? And sometimes you know what you got that comes along in your life that weighs you down. And it just keeps you from being everything that God desires for you to be. Amen. He's telling us that we are in a race. We are in a race for our life. And we need to run with endurance and run with stamina and run with fortitude. And if something gets in the way, shove it aside and get rid of it. Be willing to lay it off to the side and get rid of it. And then the third thing that he says, he tells us in essence, this is a condensed version, he tells us in essence to consider Christ. Consider Christ. He says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and consider him, verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. He's telling us that before we give up, we need to consider what Jesus did for us. He's telling us that before we throw in the towel and before we get sidetracked and before that we turn around and go back and before we, amen, give up on the things of God, just consider what Jesus went through for you to have life. He says, consider Christ. He's telling us that there is a powerful thing that happens when we keep our mind focused upon the Lord and the cross that he endured. We read again, and I'm going to read the last part of that verse, that second verse. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame thereof. And we read over that so flippantly sometimes. We read over, it is such a simple little statement that obviously sometimes we don't let it impact us. It's just a small little statement. He endured the cross, despising the shame thereof. Yes, we know he was crucified. Stop and think for a moment about what that really is saying. Stop and think for a moment about what that is really telling us. He was crucified. Crucifixion was reserved for the most wicked criminals in that day. Crucifixion was the most agonizing, most torturous, most humiliating way that a person could die. And they took an innocent man, arrested him at night. He endured a phony trial. He endured a trial that already had a predetermined outcome. He was spat upon. He was beaten until the blood ran down his back and the very insides of his organs were exposed. They plucked the beard from his face, planted a crown of thorns upon his head, and he carried his cross to the place of execution where they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, and over his head they hung him there on that tree, and over his head was a sign that said King of the Jews, and he was naked. Amen. You see these little portraits where he's got his private parts covered. I got news for you. He was naked in the sight of all of them. They did everything that they could to humiliate him, and they did everything that they could to cause him to suffer. And yet we read over that so easily. He endured the cross, despising the shame thereof. Oh, but it was so much more intense. Even with all of that, he said, I could call 12 legion of angels and deliver me. But he willingly laid down his life. He willingly laid down his life. What does that mean? It means that he did not quit. He endured to the end. I said endurance matters. He would not relent in all of that suffering and in all of that pain and all of that humiliation. And yet he refused to quit. And some folks want to quit because there are too many hypocrites in the church. And some folks want to quit because the music's too loud and the sanctuary's too cold. Hello? Some folks want to quit because it's too hard to get up on Sunday morning that early and go to the house of God. Some folks want to quit because somebody talked about them and somebody didn't have a kind word and the preacher didn't shake their hand. Amen. I want you, before you quit, amen, just consider Jesus. Consider what he went through. Consider Christ. Consider Christ. Well, the preacher, you don't understand. I prayed and he didn't answer my prayer the way I thought he should have, and so I'm just going to quit. Oh, shut up. Really? Give me a break. Give me a break. What Paul is saying is consider what Christ did for you. They ain't none of us suffered the way he suffered. There ain't any of us suffered unto death. There ain't any of us that have suffered the way he suffered for you and I so that we could have life. What gave Jesus the ability to endure? the Bible tells us. And I'll tell you, this is the secret to our endurance. The Bible tells it. I mean, you know, think of what he did for us, and there ain't none of us that could do that. There ain't none of us that could do that. What gave him the ability to just quietly and meekly yield his life so that we could have life? The scripture tells us. Verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him? Who for the joy that was set before him? The joy that was set before him. What it means is he did not put his focus on his present circumstances, but he looked at the joy that was on the other side of what he was going through. He didn't focus on the nails and the spear in his side, and he didn't focus on those things. No, he looked ahead and he saw the joy that was on the other side of the trial. He looked ahead and he saw what was on the other side of what he was going through. I declare to you this morning by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that on the other side of every trial that you are going through, there is a victory. On the other side of every frustration and every storm in your life, there is an answer. On the other side of every valley, there is a mountaintop. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9 that we ought to not be weary in well-doing, for we'll reap in due season if we faint not. On the other side of every obstruction, there is an open door and an answer. On the every side of every barrier, there is a solution and a deliverance. On the other side of everything that you are troubled with this morning, there is a testimony of God's grace and God's power that brought deliverance in your life. How could Jesus handle his crucifixion? And the answer to that is, Jesus could handle his Friday because he knew Sunday was coming. Hello? He could handle his Friday when he knew that Sunday was coming. He could handle his crucifixion when he knew there was a resurrection on the other side of what he was going through. And my job this morning is to tell you that no matter how ugly your situation is, there is a resurrection on the other side. No matter this morning how desperate your circumstances, there is a joy on the other side of the heartache. Your marriage may be tough right now, but that's all right. It's going to be all right after a while. Don't quit. You gotta have some endurance. Your kids may be giving you hell this morning. Amen, but I got news for you. They're gonna be all right after a while. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit praying for them. God knows exactly who they are, where they are, and he knows how to get a hold of their life. All you gotta do is hang in there and be faithful and endure and have some perseverance, and then God will move on your behalf. You'll reap in due season if you faith. Ain't not. Hallelujah. I'm gonna get happy. I don't know what I've seen. I don't know if it's baking soda and Pepsi or whatever, you know, but when they come together, they just go. That's how I feel this morning. Your money might be tight right now. Your money might be tight right now, but that's all right. It's going to be okay. If God feeds the birds of the air and clothes the lily, he knows what you have, Nita. Hello? Amen. It's going to be all right after a while. Your job may be giving you hell, but I can tell you one thing. God's able to step down right in the middle of it and make you the boss. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. What caused Jesus to endure? What gave him the ability to endure? He did not focus on his present circumstances, but he looked through the trial and saw the victory on the other side. Psalms 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. And I came to tell somebody this morning that you might be going through the darkness. It may be midnight, but hang out. Don't quit. Don't get your hand out of God's hand. Keep your hand in the hand of the Master, and joy will come in the morning. Hallelujah. So he tells us three things. He says, hey, folks, if you want some endurance in your life, then look at all of these witnesses. Some of you have grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads that have gone on before you. But they were a testimony of God's grace and God's power and God's saving ability. Seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witness, don't you dare give up. Before you give up, consider Jesus. Consider what he went through. Don't you dare throw in the towel. Don't you dare give up on your dream. Don't you dare give up on your desires and your aspiration. Keep holding on to the hand of God and watch God bring it to pass. Amen. Let me just tell you, there are others in the scripture this morning that I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but there, I did this past week. There's some folks in the Bible that are not listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And they were really prominent people. You would think that they would be there. I just challenge you, look in Hebrews chapter 11 and see if you can find the name Saul. Saul was the very first king of Israel. You would think that his name would be there in the chapter of all these heroes of faith, but Saul got sidetracked. Saul's name is not there because Saul wanted to please people more than he wanted to please God. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, you would think that his name would be in Hebrews chapter 11, but it's not there. Can I tell you why it's not there? Solomon got sidetracked with all of his wives and all of their false gods. Solomon got distracted. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I would say he got distracted. I mean, that's like date night every 3 years. Oh, I think I remember you. Haven't we met before? I better point the other way, right? 700 wives and 300 concubines. And with all of those 300 concubines and all of those wives came their little false gods. And Solomon got his eyes off of the God and onto their little gods. And because he got sidetracked, his name is not in the Hall of Fame. How about Balaam? You remember Balaam? He was a good prophet. But Balaam got his eyes on money. And then Balaam's donkey was more spiritual than he was. Hello? So let me just close this morning by asking you, what have you felt like giving up on? Are you ready to give up on your dreams? Are you ready to give up on your goals? Are you ready to give up on your marriage? Are you ready to give up on your desires and your aspirations and your walk with God because things haven't turned out like you thought they should and things haven't turned out like you planned? You had things happen you didn't count on. Are you ready to walk away? Are you ready to throw in the towel? I came to tell you, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. You got to have some endurance. Endurance matters. Because you're going to run up against some things that are going to test your faith and try your heart. And you're going to run up against some stuff that are going to suck all the force. You're going to have some jellyfish, and you're going to have some rough wind, and you're going to have 110 miles, and you're going to have all this other stuff that says your dream is never going to come to pass. And you're going to have to be like Diana. Diana, no matter how it feels, no matter how it looks, you just got to suck it up and find a way. And I promise you that the sun is going to shine again. The storm ain't always going to blow. The rain ain't always going to fall. You're going to have some sunshiny days and you're going to have some stormy days. But if you just keep your hand in the hand of God, He will see to it that you come out on the other side with victory in your life. You are sitting here this morning and you could testify of your own experiences. You could sit here this morning and testify of your own experience at moments and times that you felt like giving up, but you held on and God came through. I can tell you this morning, there have been times in my life when the enemy tempted me to give up. Turn around, go back. And I just stayed with it and stayed with it. Even though I was hurting, even though there were tears running down my face, even though my insides felt like they were turning over, there were times that I felt like I wanted to just quit. You've been there. But I can also tell you that I kept my eyes on the prize. And I kept my eyes on Jesus. And I kept my heart focused on Him. And then little by little, the sun began to come up again. And I found my joy. And I found the restoration place. And I found the place where the sun was shining again. I found the mountaintop. Again, I believe with all of my spirit. I'm gonna close. I said it once. I may say it twice and then keep going. I don't know. Help me. Pray for me, Jesus. I'm gonna say this. There are some of you here this morning, and I know this not in the natural, but I know it in the realm of the spirit. There are some of you here this morning that are going through hell in your life. And it doesn't matter, doesn't seem like what you've done, doesn't matter, it seems like, but it just seems like it is just raining cats and dogs in your spirit. And the enemy has sat down on your shoulder and said, why don't you just give up? Like Job's wife, why don't you just curse God and die? I come to tell you this morning, just be faithful. Just be faithful. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for He is faithful who promised. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare let the enemy win. Stay in your lane. Keep running this race. Keep your hand in the hand of God. God will see to it that you come out on the other side in the sunlight again. Bow your heads, please, all over the building. Bow your heads, please, all over the building. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. Father, I have endeavored this morning to speak what You placed upon my heart. Father, I have endeavored this morning to share Your word with Your people. Help us to understand that seeing we are accompanied, seeing that there is such a great cloud of witnesses that have endured and won the victory, help us to understand that we need to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us understand that the joy that was set before him enabled him to endure the cross, despising the shame thereof. And help us this morning, I pray, O God, to understand that weeping may endure for a night, but if we'll be faithful, you will be faithful, and joy will come in the morning. Touch hearts this morning, Lord, with your word, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you here in this sanctuary, and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, this message was for me this morning. I needed to hear this today. God bless you, and 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 there, and there, and there. Hands lifted. Anyone else? Yes, God sees your hand. God sees hands being lifted here this morning. I'll just tell you this morning, the reason that the Lord put this word on my heart was so that he could tell you and so that he could encourage you. Son, daughter, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap in due season if you faint not. Keep your hand in my hand. I know your muscles are aching. I know there's tears running down your face and your lungs. Feel like they're about to fall out, but just keep running. You're going to come out on the other side stronger. At the end of your swim, at the end of your run, you're going to find glory. You're going to find that it's been worth it all. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Somebody ought to look in the devil's direction and just tell him, you thought you had trouble before. I am back in the race, and I am going to run with all of my heart. Hands lifted all over the building. Please stand to your feet. Let's pray for those that lifted their hands. And then Cody is going to lead us one more time in worship. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, you saw every hand that was lifted. You saw every individual who lifted their hand this morning and said, I'm struggling in the race. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, supernaturally take a hold of their hand. Give them whatever it takes to keep them in the race this morning. Renew their joy, renew their strength, renew their peace, renew their commitment, renew their passion, renew that heart. Strengthen them, encourage them, uphold them, lift them up. I ask in the name of Jesus, every hand that was lifted this morning, Lord, I pray that you would supernaturally keep them in your race. When the enemy comes by to tempt us to just give up, we can answer like Job answered his wife, you speak like a foolish woman. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not going back. Come hell, come high water, I am anchored in Jesus, and the storms of life I'll brave. I'm not going back. Oh. Hey, my Lord, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. Somebody just begin to tell the enemy, I'm not turning around. Out of the words of you, the Bible said, amen, that out of the mouth, amen, your words will be established. Speak to him right now. Tell him, I'm not going back. I'm not giving up. I am not turning around. My hand, my heart is anchored in Jesus Christ. and not by my might, not by my power, but by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I will prevail. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.